Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Neil Nelson, associate pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Or ideas and communicate well. So I just want to share a story. Matt Simpson shared how he was afraid of Jell-O. He still is. It's kind of funny. But Matt Kessler shared how he threw up in the bushes on a date, something like that. So I thought, man, how can I share a story about myself that would just build rapport? So here's my story. One time when I was in the jungles feeding the prisoners and the orphans, and it's funny, I know they were together. I guess it just worked out good that way. But I was going to feed them, to bring them food, and it was really dangerous because of the tigers and the howler monkeys. Howler monkeys are scary, you know. And they wanted me to carry a gun, but I was like, no, I'm going to carry a gun. I want to carry Bibles, you know, because I want to take the word to people. And so when I'm going there through this dangerous jungle to feed the orphans and prisoners, a lady said in her native language, which I can speak, but I don't want to impress you too much, you know, was like, you are an angel of God, and you should probably not sacrifice yourself so much. And I was like, no, I'm just doing this. It's not about me. It's about the orphans and the prisoners. So that's all I got. I feel close to you. I don't know if you feel close to me. As a church, we've been going for 3 summers now, since 2015. We've been doing this series where we've gone, that was a total lie, by the way. Some of you are still looking at me like, man, this guy's amazing. Or really arrogant. But no. For 3 summers, we've been going through this series where we've gone through the major narrative themes in Scripture, from creation to who God is, to who humans are, who we were created to be, sin and Satan, the church, Christ, salvation. And we've looked at what we believe about these major teachings and themes throughout Scripture. What do we believe about those? And then we didn't stop there. We said we also want to look at, well, if this is what God reveals about these things, then what would be my faith response to that? How would I, and we use the word behavior just because it worked in the alliteration. Here's what we believe, here's what we behave. But we weren't talking about like some kind of Christian moralism, like if you do these certain things, then you can have a relationship with God and God will be pleased and you can go to heaven. That wasn't what we were talking about. But if God reveals himself to be a certain being, and he reveals us to be certain beings, or he reveals truth about the world which we live in, what would our faith response look like to that? If I believe God exists in perfect unity with himself, he's a triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, then what would it look like? Because I believe that, how would I live differently? So that's what the behave part was. And then, because we know, we learned this in our last series, that God is working together in the church to conform them into the image of Christ Jesus through his Holy Spirit, through his word, through the church, we know that God's doing this. So we said, well, what if God reveals himself, that's what we believe, and our faith response would look this way, that's how we would behave, then God's working in our lives, who are we becoming, right? I love this series because in my own journey as a follower of Jesus, there were times when I really thought, well, if you just believe the right things, you know, you just get your doctrine in order, then life's going to work out great and you'll grow as a Christian and everything will be good. But, you know, that was not my experience, and it kind of forgets that this being who's revealed himself to us wants a daily personal relation. It's not about me having this set of intellectual beliefs and then I just go my merry way. He wants to live in relationship with me. And then there were other times where I felt like what I was taught was, if you'll just do these certain things, If you'll pray, if you'll read your Bible, if you'll go to church, and then there's certain things you're not supposed to do, you know, drink, smoke, date girls who do, stuff like that, you know, just don't, just behave this certain way, then, you know, life will work out. The Christian life will be good, and this will work out. But the problem with that is that it can quickly degenerate into, like, this is something I do in my own power, and it becomes exhausting, and it just doesn't really work either. And then there were occasional times in the community that I grew up where they would mention this, you know, Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and they would say, well, you know, it's all about the fruit He's producing in your life. So I heard that, but I wondered, well, how do you balance, you know, the fact that God does all this stuff through His Spirit in my life with these commands in Scripture, you know, to do certain things? And so I love this series because it says this. It says all three are very important. What we believe is very important because God's revealed Himself to us. Our faith response to who God's revealed Himself to is very important. The work that the Holy Spirit is doing in and through us because of who God is and because of our faith in God is very important. They're all three very essential. So we've been working through a series like this. So today we're going to start a new belief, behave, become from our last series, and then after we finish this three-part series, we'll actually talk about how does the story end. So that'll be great. We'll talk about the end of the story. What does God reveal about how He wraps things up, and what does that mean for us today? Today we're going to be looking at these three. So our belief is going to be the mission. So, you know, it's kind of a question of why did God leave us here? Why did He leave us? Why is He transforming us? That's what we talked about the last 3 weeks. We know He's transforming us. We know He left us here on the earth. Why? Well, Scripture tells us that He left us here for a mission. That's what we're going to talk about today. And then next week, I think Darrell Cook maybe will be coming back to talk to us about, well, if that's what God's revealed about the church, what does that mean for our life? If we have a faith response, a positive faith response to who God has revealed to church, what He wants us to do, what would that look like? And then finally, what He is doing in our heart as we trust Him. Okay? So today we're just going to be talking about mission. And that's this. You can go to the next slide. That's this belief. We believe that Scripture teaches Jesus commissioned His church to make disciples of all nations. That's what we believe, that why God left the church here. We're going to look at that today. Now, before we jump into Scripture, I want to ask you to give you a little bit of a challenge, because this is a very common text. So if you grew up in church, or you've been involved in BCM, Campus Ministries, or Crew, or something, you've heard this Scripture taught a lot. And that's great because it is central to who the church is and to the Christian life. But a lot of times we just bring all our pre-understanding into the text. And there's nothing wrong. We can't eliminate pre-understanding totally. But for some of us, we've heard it so much that when we hear, oh, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, yep, I've heard that. We file that away, that whole passage, Jesus' words, we file that away under, that's a missions verse. You know, every time we have a mission Sunday in the church, they're going to use Matthew 28. Or some of you have got it filed under, oh, that's the evangelism verse. Whenever they're going to talk about evangelism, they bring out this verse, you know, of make disciples of all nations. Or for some of you, it's a discipleship verse. You know, they're going to use that verse and they're going to talk about how important discipleship is and what discipleship is and how you get involved in discipleship, right? And pre-understanding, it's some of it's helpful and some of it's valid, but for some of us, it prevents us from wrestling with what does the powerful simplicity of Jesus' words to His disciples mean for my life? What does it mean for North Star Church? Because we can just easily go, well, I'm not a missionary, I'm an engineer. I'm not, you are, some of you. Or, you know, I stay at home with my kids. And I'm not an evangelist. You know, somebody else is, but I'm not. And so it just doesn't seem to resonate with us. And so what I want us to do today is, the challenge is this. Try to initially Listen to Jesus' words as if you were one of the 11. Okay? Because that's what Matthew 28:16 tells us, that the 11 went to Galilee to a mountain to meet Jesus. So that's the geographical context of Jesus' words today. And so I want us to talk for a second. What do we know? Just leave it on the 11. What do we know about the 11? Just think about that for a second. And then we'll pray and we'll start into the text. But we know they're first century Jews. Now that seems obvious. But it's important to remember, because as Jews, they come with the biases that Jews would have. They come with an understanding, a worldview of the world, and would affect how they hear what Jesus is going to say. Okay? We know they're ordinary men. Now, they're ordinary men who've been with Jesus, and that's important to remember. But they're ordinary men. The best we can tell is they're fishermen and tax collectors and physicians, and we don't know what some of them do. We don't know where everyone's from, but they're not powerful men. They're not the theologians of their day. They're not well-connected and politically, connected and well-funded group of people. They're just ordinary men who've been with Jesus. Again, that's important to remember. They've been with Jesus. They've witnessed His miracles. They've listened to His teaching. They watched Him be arrested. They watched Him probably from a distance because they had gone into hiding, but they watched Him be crucified. They've witnessed His resurrection. But they've been in hiding. And Jesus is calling them out. He's going to teach them some things before He ascends to the Father. So I want you to... I thought even the youth, the way they were sharing about faith and how, faith has to overcome fear. I thought about the disciples and what I was going to talk about this morning. I think they're a group of fearful dudes. So put your... as best as we can, put ourselves in the minds of the 11 for a few minutes. And let's look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Let me pray for us. Father, thank You for this clear word to the church. Help us, Father, to hear what You have for the church, and as Christians, what You have for us. And God, help us to... in Your power, through Your work in us, be faithful to these truths. It's in Your name I pray. Amen. So you got these disciples. They're sitting in a pretty familiar place for them, place that they'd been with Christ before. And He's asked them to assemble there again. And He's going to give them this powerful message before He goes to the Father. And Matthew chooses to end his gospel here. If you read Luke or John or Mark, they'll mention some other things. But Matthew chooses, for purposes of why he was writing, to end his gospel with this words from Christ. And these are the words. I know they're, again, probably familiar to a lot of you, but Jesus would say to the 11, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you till the end of the age." So let's again try to hear from their perspective. So Jesus says, all authority. All authority, anything and everything, has been given to Me. What would they have heard when He says, all authority? Maybe they're thinking, that's the greatest understatement ever. They watched Him be crucified. They saw the spear go into his side. They saw the water and blood rush out. They saw him put in the grave. They were told that he wasn't there. After 3 days, that he'd risen. He'd appeared to them in Jerusalem and to others that they knew that had gotten back to them. And here they are in front of him. I think certainly you're going, they're thinking, yes, yeah, all power. You do have all power. But they got to also be hearing that this is the priority of Christ for his church, for them. And again, at that point, they're just thinking about themselves, the 11, maybe the other disciples. We know that we're told later in Acts there's about 120 disciples left after Jesus has been crucified in his resurrection. But they're certainly not thinking about the church like when we hear the word church and we think about all these believers, millions of believers throughout the world. But it's one of those phrases where if you start out a sentence, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, whatever you say next is important, all right? It's kind of like, we do this sometimes when we're trying to get to know what somebody we really want to know, what do they really believe? We'd say something like, well, if you could do any job, you could just do the job that you've always wanted to do, whatever vocation, what would you do? And what we really want to know, we don't really think it's a necessary possibility. What we really want to know is, what does this person really believe? What's really in their heart? By the way, I'd be a Cirque du Soleil performer, just in case you know, because I think it's cool to wear spandex and do a handstand on somebody's face. I think that's cool. But, or we'd say, well, if you could travel anywhere in the world and time and money, those two things that are always an issue, weren't an issue, where would you go? That's this kind of statement. All authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Whatever he says next is going to reveal his heart. It's going to reveal his priority for his church. And Jesus says this. He says, disciple. Now, I chose to start with this because syntactically, Jeff, last week he used the word psychosomatically, and I jotted it down. I like it when people use big words, and I look them up, see if they really used them correctly. So I looked this one up before I used it, by the way, so don't be Googling it right now. But people that know the Greek, those Greek geeks, I'm not one of them, I'm still learning English, but they tell us that the central command for Jesus' words, the central command is disciple. It was a verb. We don't have it in English as a verb, so we have to add and say make disciples. But in the Greek language, it would just been disciple. And that everything else, the go part, we'll talk about in a second, the baptizing part, the teaching part, everything else revolves around that central command. We'll talk about that in a second. But Jesus would say disciple. And the best we can understand, because it's a verb, it means do what's already been happening. Jesus had been, he had discipled. I can't even use it as a verb, right? The 11. So do what's already been happening and keep doing this. And it's going to continue to go. So it's, past, present, and future is the imperative. It tells us, the what. The what is, because all authority in heaven and earth, here's the what. The what is disciple. And for us, again, we have to think about them, try to get out of our pre-understanding. Think process, not product. We tend to think product. Who's a disciple? What are the characteristics of a disciple? I know that's the way I think when if we were discussing this word. But think process. Think an ongoing action in a person's life. Peter would be doing this. He'd be being obedient to this at Pentecost when, he begins to, there's all these people gathered, and the scripture tells us that he bore witness to Christ. He basically talks to them about who Jesus was and what had happened to Jesus, and he bore witness to Jesus, and Scripture tells us that 2,000 people were added. He was being obedient to disciple. Everybody with me? It's a verb, something you do. So everything else around it just describes disciple. And Jesus makes it clear. He says, going, or go. We have it in most of our translations, going. Again, same thing here. If you're a Greek geek, it's not a geographical destination. He's not saying, go on a mission trip to another country. Later, he will instruct his disciples to go to Jerusalem and then go to Judea and go to the uttermost ends of the earth. But right here, when he's talking to them, he is not saying that. It's not a geographical destination. The idea being conveyed here is, again, this continuous action. I've heard other people, much better teachers than me, say what he's really saying is, as you go, as you're living the rest of your life that God's going to give you, as you're going, disciple, right? Because that's the imperative. The what is disciple. The when, the how is as you go. We're going to see this in Scripture. We're going to see some of those 2,000 that are converted and follow Jesus at Pentecost, when persecution breaks out against the church, they're basically refugees, and we're going to see them spread out from around Jerusalem, and some of them are going to end up in some of these other cities. And as they're going, I guess as they're looking for food, clothes, and shelter, they're telling people, they're discipling, they're telling people about Jesus, and people are getting saved. As you go. So how else will you disciple? Well, Jesus will say, baptizing. Baptizing. As you go, you're talking about Jesus. You're going to talk to everyone about Jesus, wherever you go, about Jesus. And some are going to respond in faith. And he's going to say, baptize. Now, again, think about the disciples. Don't think about us. Don't think about where you are today and what we think about baptism. If you're thinking about disciples, you're thinking baptism is the affirmation of repentance and trust in Christ in the New Testament. Now, I'm not saying that the disciples thought baptism saved them. I don't believe that. But what I am saying is that for the 11, they would not have thought of somebody professing faith in Jesus and not being baptized. Wasn't a thing for them. If you look at Acts as the church goes out, those that were professed faith in Christ, even those 2,000 there in Pentecost, Peter says to them, after he tells them about Jesus, he disciples them, he says, repent and be baptized. And then it says 2,000 were added to a number. They were all baptized. There wouldn't be a difference for the disciples. It's a distinguishing factor of faith. And Jesus said, this is one of the ways you're going to make disciples, you're going to baptize. Now, and I realized, and I need to go back, I realized that I skipped all nations. Because Jesus said, disciple all nations, and that's really important. So again, you got to think about, for us, because we have this global mindset, we're aware of what goes on around the world, and what happens in one country actually affects what happens in our country all the time. When we hear the word all nations, we got a certain image, but you got to think about the disciples. That wasn't the case for them. And the word there would be literally ethne, which we get our word ethnic. It's basically referring to, it's related to race. It's not talking about a geopolitical nation state. That's not what they're thinking. What they're thinking, truthfully, is Gentiles. They have believed and are still going to wrestle. We'll see that work itself out in Acts and in some of Paul's letters. They're still going to be wrestling with that Yahweh, the covenant God, is only a covenant God to the Jewish people. But Jesus says, go to, basically he's saying, all people, regardless of their race, regardless of whether they're Jewish or Jewish converts or whatever, all people. So think again, Jesus is saying, I want you to go everywhere. I want you to talk to everyone about me. And then I said baptism, let's go to teaching. So he's going to say to the disciples, you know, go, I want you to go talk to people about me. I want you to tell them about Jesus. I want you to tell them my story. I want you to talk to everyone, everywhere, as you go, all the time. I want you to baptize those who trust in me. And then I want you to teach them. And this is, I think, what we typically think of when we discuss discipleship. We're thinking about the teaching part. And there's a couple of things Jesus, he doesn't spell it out, you know, in minute detail. It's not like he's writing a textbook. But he gives us what's really important, and he conveys two things. One is, teach them everything, right? Jesus says, teach them everything I have commanded you. So there is this part of what in teaching that's about knowledge. Jesus wants them to understand who he was, who he revealed himself to be, what he did on the cross and when he resurrected. He wants them to understand what he taught them about the Father and their relationship with Father. But he also, and this is what he says, teaching them to obey everything I commanded, teaching them to obey. He also says, it's got to be about doing what I've taught you, what I've commanded you. He would tell his disciples that, you know when somebody loves me because they obey me. They weren't separate in Jesus' thinking. They weren't going to be separate in the disciples' thinking. So when you summarize what the disciples probably heard, it was something like this. Jesus is saying, my priority for you, for the church, is everyone, everywhere, all the time, to know who Jesus was and to become a learner of Jesus. And what's really cool is if you think about if you carry out that truth, those truths to their logical conclusions. If you take somebody and you teach them about Jesus, if you took the folks at Pentecost that will hear Peter tell who Jesus was and that he was the Messiah and that he could save them and they needed to repent and be baptized, if the disciples, the 11, followed through on what Jesus said, they would teach them to do what? It's not a trick question. Disciple all nations, baptize them, and teach them to obey everything Jesus commanded. They would know everywhere, everybody, all the time, needs to be told about Jesus, and those who respond in faith need. Jesus wants, it's the desire of his heart, it's what all authority in heaven and on earth is centered on right now, to know who he is, what he's taught, and to be taught to obey. It's pretty powerful. And so, like any scripture, I think we need to wrestle with, you know, the truth of that scripture. What does it mean for you as an individual? If you're here and you're a Christian, you'd say, I'm a Christian, and I personally don't think there's a difference between somebody who calls himself a Christian and somebody who calls a disciple. That's something we make up. But if you've said, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, that truth, because of the nature of the truth, is for you. And I think we have to evaluate our lives based on everyone, everywhere, all the time, knowing about Christ. It's not Jeff's responsibility as our pastor or the staff's responsibility. It's not somebody who has the gift of evangelism's responsibility. It's every person who is a disciple of Christ? And so I think you ought to evaluate. Now, I could say, go through this and ask yourself, you know, do I tell people about Jesus all the time? Have I been baptized? I mean, you could ask yourself all those questions. It may be a great way. But what I would encourage you to do is ask the Lord to reveal to you, because He will do that. By the way, I forgot also to say that Jesus ended by saying, I will be with you. He talked about His presence with the disciples, and we have His presence too. So He's promised to be with us. So ask the Lord to reveal you, where in this do I need to respond in faith to this belief, Jesus, that you commissioned your church to make disciples of all nations? Because for some of you, that may mean you need to quit your job and move to another country. It may possibly. I don't determine that. I'm not the Holy Spirit. God will lead you. For some of you, it may mean you just need to talk about Jesus at work. You know, and I hear stories. I love it. Jeff and I, and the staff, we love when I'm talking to guys. It happens to me every week just about at North Star. I'm talking to some dude, and he's talking about a relationship he has at work and how he wants that person to know Jesus and how he's talked to that person about Jesus. He just wants to pray for that guy because he's, you know, either got a lot of questions or he's hard-hearted or something like that. I love that. I love it when we see North Star people inviting students from Tech, inviting their friends who don't know Jesus. We love that. I love the youth story where, you know, Matt tells our youth, hey, invite your friends. And they do. They respond. And there's these guys that come to camp to hear, to be discipled, to hear the story about Jesus. So I just encourage you, you know, again, to evaluate, to ask the Holy Spirit to evaluate you. Me, Jeff, any of the staff, we're glad to help you and walk you through that. But ultimately, it's got to be something from the Lord. Some of you would say you're a Christian. You've never been baptized. You've never made that affirmation, which again, in the New Testament, there would not be faith in Christ apart. Again, it's not salvific, but you wouldn't say, oh yeah, I've prayed this prayer, I believe in Jesus. I may get baptized one day when I want to, or when it's convenient. That's not a New Testament thing. So some of you need to respond. It's not a Neil thing. You're like, well, Neil, I don't know why. Well, don't. It's not a Neil thing. It's not a North Star Church thing. It's a Jesus thing. He said, baptize them. And then I think, you know, we got to ask ourselves as an individual, what does it mean? We need to ask ourselves as a church. And I could do the same thing. I could go through and ask North Star Church as a church. But I thought that's really not helpful. What I thought I feel like God wants me to do here is affirm you as North Star Church, that we are asking ourselves, everything we do, is this making disciples? Is this helping people know about Jesus? I love to hear Julie's heart about children's ministry. She wants the children to know about Jesus. I loved Whitney Blazak when she sent Jeff an email about they had moved to a different community, and she wanted, her daughter needed to be baptized, and she said, can we bring her back to North Star because that's where she learned about Jesus. I love that Kessler wants the youth to know about Jesus. Matt Simpson, leader of GAP, Aaron Peterson, the leader of Connect, they want their students to know about Jesus. We are trying to make disciples. We have something called D28, but it's much broader than that for North Star. We hope and we think, and as Jeff leads us as a staff and as a church and as leaders, that everything we do somehow connects with making disciples of all nations. When we do Be and Go Sunday and we don't meet here on a Sunday and we go out and we serve in the community, we're serving because Jesus said, you know, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but He wanted to serve. When we get to know our neighbors, it's because Jesus said, love your neighbor. I just think that's affirming for North Star. We're about Jesus. And I'm probably out of time. So let me pray for us, and then I think we're going to have communion. And then as you go today, talk about Jesus everywhere, to everyone, all the time. And He is with you. Father, thank You for Your Word. God, I know in my own life, when I evaluate it up next to Your truth and what You've revealed about Yourself, I always fall short. But I also know that one of the truths You said, Jesus, was that the authority was Yours. And it's not mine. I don't have the power. And so help me to be faithful when I respond to Your Word. Help me to talk to people about Jesus. Help me to even use my sin and shortcomings to make much of Jesus. Pray for North Star Church and for all our visitors and guests that are going to be going and being a part of other churches today. Help us to talk about You to everyone, everywhere, all the time. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.